Our assistant pastor, Mr. Knutson, for the second message.
Thank you, Mr. Babb, and happy Sabbath to everyone. It is a pleasure to be here with you today. I want to say to Sylvia, if you could tell that lady in front of you to look at you. She's looking at me. Denise, you're looking at me. We all say hello to you. I hope you're having a wonderful Sabbath today. She always says, I love you. And I say, I love you back. And she always says, oh, I love you more. And I think we all hear that from her. I would also like to welcome the Waltners back home. They're here with us today. So their second home. So we look at them as this is their first home. So they got snow already and cold weather, and so they decided to come back home. So, and also for Mrs. Kennedy, welcome to you as well. You know, Steve's mom right over here. So, and anyone else that we might have missed, welcome to you as well. I want to, just before we get into the message, I'd like to just read a couple things. I was looking, you know, a Lucy and, you know, Charlie Brown comic. And Lucy's talking to Linus. And Lucy goes to Linus, liberal scientists can prove that climate change is real. And Linus goes, they can? They can't tell the difference between boys and girls. I thought that was, I Googled this morning, trying to remember exactly how I Googled it, jokes on, I can't remember if it was overcoming or changing, and I think it was climate change, so that one popped up. But I got another one that popped up, said The Bend in the Road by Helen Keller. The bend in the road is not the end of the road unless you fail to make the turn. So we think about that as we go through the message today. And then there's one more my wife was talking about this week. I told her, hey, I did a bike ride, did some exercise, and I said, hey, I'm running to take a shower. And she says, are you going in there to rinse off, or are you going in there to take a shower? And I'm wondering, is she thinking that I don't take good enough showers? And she's giggling in there, and so this week we've been chuckling on that joke, because she told me where she heard that from was from an individual, a comedian, who was talking about his mate. Well, you could go, if it was a lady, she'd be talking about her husband, and since this was a man, he was talking about his wife. And so he was just saying, it's really hard for my wife to be on time. She's late a lot of times. And, you know, and it's hard for her to admit that she's wrong. And so we were in here, and I was getting a movie together. We were in the room together and Netflix. And she said, just give me a few minutes. I'll be right back. I have to go to the bathroom. So he's patiently waiting, and he's waiting, and 5 minutes pass by, and 10 minutes pass by, and 15 minutes pass by. I'll tell you what, I don't think this story is exactly true, because guys can't wait that long. But she said he waited for almost 30 minutes, and then he went tracking her down. And he found her in the bathroom, and she was in there taking a shower. And he goes, hon, I thought you said you'd be right back. What are you in here doing taking a shower? And she goes, I'm not taking a shower. I'm just rinsing off. So the point that my wife was saying is that it was hard for us as individuals to admit we're wrong when we're wrong. And I thought that was a wonderful first split sermon on us and how we can pursue peace and putting our lives right and putting God first in our lives. So, and then one other thing I would like to say, if you want to hear a really good sermon, not during this message, but when you get time on trials, you know, the Dowd family, the Elliott family are going through a very difficult trial right now. Johnny Elliott gave a sermon on trials in September. You can download it on YouTube if you would like to listen to that. I have not heard it yet. Mr. Scriber told me on Wednesday about it and thought it was a very good sermon. So I'm the only one who raised my hand. I'm not sure if Mr. Tuck had sent the announcements only to me. Since he asked me to do the announcements, I passed them off, as you see. But I'm sorry you're not getting the announcements, so Mr. Kennedy can relay that to Mr. Tuck as well. My wife and I are flying out of town tomorrow to Cincinnati for a week and a half. And I know he's been having some issues. We talked on Wednesday. He's struggling with it. He doesn't know what's going on. So maybe he can work on that this week if Steve gives him some heads up. But in regards to our calling, where are we at in our calling? And where are we headed? The title is, Where Are We and Where Are We Headed? I want to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And as we go through the message today, let's look at the scriptures. And we should always look at the Bible and how we should approach the Bible. And it should also be a reminder for us how to grow spiritually, how to overcome, how to be like God, how to be able to be doing His will, to know what His will is. I mean, God has wonderful promises for us in this calling. And the ultimate gift that He wants to give is eternal life. So much that He sacrificed His Son so we could have it. You don't think that that is not love? You don't think that that is not serious? That we need to be taking our calling seriously? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, sometimes we read this during the days of unleavened bread. Now, we just came out of the Feast of Tabernacles. And the theme for us was focus on repentance. Focus on this feast and what it represents and make changes in your life when you leave from this feast. But here we are reminded by the writer Paul, who's telling us there's some examples for us to look at. So here he goes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. So he says, I don't want you to be unaware. This is something we need to be aware of. So let's not look at this and say, I've heard this 100 times. You know, I had this is my first feast site that I can remember in a long time that I was challenged. I was challenged by people in the church that what was being said from the pulpit wasn't true. What do you mean it's not true? What do you mean it's not true? And it was one after the other. And I would open the book and I would show them the scriptures. Sometimes they would get it and they'd turn around and walk away. It reminded me like those in Christ's day where people were just wanting to challenge you. They weren't there to really get it. So he says, I don't want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So this is talking about the Exodus. You go back into the beginning of the book. Go back into Exodus in Numbers, where Israel came out of Egypt. That's what Paul is paralleling here. Okay? He's saying they came out of Egypt with a high hand. There is many miracles that God did to get them to come out of sin, to go through the wilderness, just to get to the Red Sea on the seventh day, the last day of unleavened bread, to go through the sea. It was a type of baptism. Many miracles. God was working with Israel. He works with us in our calling and us being baptized from the time we're called. Those whom God doesn't call, He doesn't work with right now. They're enemies. Pharaoh was an enemy. Satan pursues those of God. Pharaoh came after Israel, after God opened the sea, even after Israel doubted. What are we going to do? He opened the sea that night. He put the wind through there. He dried the land. Israel passed through the next day. And who's coming behind him? Before Israel could get out at the end of the Red Sea, Pharaoh was barreling down with his mighty army. And you talk about faith. God was teaching them to have faith. You ever heard of a 100,000-man army? I don't know how large that army was off the top of my head. Chasing individuals that just had sticks and maybe knives. And not one of those individuals was harmed. And that army, the mighty army of Pharaoh, was defeated. God can do miraculous things. He's a miracle worker. And he was bringing Israel out. He's bringing us out. A type of baptism for them is a type of baptism for us. And that sea caved in on Pharaoh and his army. That land started to get wet. The chariot wheels started to come off. And that sea closed up on Pharaoh and his army. God did it. God can do all things. And right after that spiritual type baptism, God was walking with them. As we see here, that spiritual rock was feeding them, and the army was defeated. What did they do? You know, go back and read this story. I'm not going to do it today. They sang a song. Whoa, we're out of Egypt. Pharaoh, he's dead. The army's dead. We didn't even do anything. And they were so happy, they sang a song. What about us? We just become baptized. We're excited about the truth. It's smooth sailing. It wasn't smooth sailing for Israel. It's not smooth sailing for us. There's a bend in the road, Helen Keller says. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Unless we fail to make that turn, we're doomed. But he goes on to say, and they all drank that same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, or that was with them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not pleased. For their bodies, or their carcasses, were scattered in the wilderness. Do you know how many people made it into the promised land from that original group? Two. Exactly. Two. Two people. Doesn't that get the hair standing up on the back of your neck, that many are called? The many are called. Are we going to choose God's way of life? Now, I don't want this sermon to be depressing, okay? I want it to be exciting, all right? But God gives us a mild rebuke. Be aware of it. Be aware of it. We don't want to come here and not be aware of it, but it should be there to be aware of. And God gives us a way of an escape. He gives us excitement. Okay, which we'll touch on as well. Now, you can, as you continue reading on, it tells you some of the things that they were doing wrong. They lusted. They complained. They weren't obeying God. Did you know that within 72 hours after that sea closed and Pharaoh was dead, that they made that golden calf? Oh, where's Moses? Oh, haven't seen him. Where'd he go? Oh, quickly. So how quickly Satan wants us to disobey God. Drop down to verse 11. I'm still in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. Now all these things happened to them as examples. They're examples for us. Okay? And they were written for our admonition. That word there means a mild rebuke, a mild correction for for us, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Now, we live in evil times. We live in Satan's society. But we know that Israel wandered for 40 years. God was working with Israel all that time, and he finally was fed up and said, "You're not going in. Your children will go in, but you're not going in." And we'll touch on some of these miracles here in just a little bit, but there was many miracles that took place to bring Israel to the Red Sea. Just like God works many miracles to bring us to our baptism and to receive God's Holy Spirit. And they didn't have a choice before. They were in Egypt. They were in sin. And God called them out. And now they have a choice. God has called us out, and we also have a choice. And we need to trust that God's going to do things his way and in his time. In his time. Now, we don't have to, as we turn to some of these scriptures, God does work speedily. He works speedily for us to grow and overcome spiritually. He does. And that for us today, we can ask ourselves, do we want to be, as we go through the message, do we want to be like Israel, just wandering, or do we want to be learning from their mistakes and going forward? Touch over here on, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5. And here the heading is talking about redeeming the time. Ephesians chapter 5. And this is something in our calling, something that we can be focused on, something that when we're pursuing peace, which is righteousness, we're being made right through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That was touched on in the first message. So here the writer is telling us in verse 8, "For you, me, we were once in darkness. We were once in Egypt. We didn't have a choice. But now you are light in the Lord." God has opened our eyes, helped us to see. We recognized and saw that we were sinners. And so we needed our sins forgiven. We need to be baptized. And then we need help to overcome. And God gives us that Holy Spirit to help us to overcome. And he tells us to not quench that Holy Spirit. He works with us through the Holy Spirit. So he says, "You're light in the Lord. So then walk as children of light." That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to walk that way. He doesn't want us to deceive ourselves. "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Do we want to know what is acceptable to God? Or do we want it's a little too hard. And then we recognize in our life that we don't have peace. We are anxious. We worry. We have fear. "But find out what is acceptable to the Lord and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." That's not about talking about exposing someone else, exposing their darkness. It's about exposing the darkness in us. Expose it. "For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret." So we don't even want to be talking about things that others do in secret. We don't want to be talking about evil. We don't want to be filling our minds with it. "But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light." So God will manifest our sins by walking in the truth. "For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore," he says, "awake you who sleep." So he's telling us, if those who are sleeping, who don't see this, who have issues, that you're just wandering and we're not really getting it, and we're still complaining, we still have idols, we're still gossiping. Go back to 1 Corinthians 10 and go through the scriptures. "Arise from the dead." We're dead. We're dead in our sins because we're still practicing sin. "And then Christ will give you light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So I've titled the message today is, Where Are We? Where are we in our calling? Not everyone wants to know. I hope we do. And the question is then, depending if we care, it'll tell us to know where we're headed. And if we're not going to take the messages to heart, then our bodies will be scattered, our carcasses will be scattered, and we won't receive eternal life. There are no discounts in entering the kingdom of God. I know we all like discounts. We like a store when it has discounts. We like it when it's 90% off. We like to buy. We love to buy. We hate to be sold. We love discounts. We even like to get things for free. You know, God's word is free. That didn't come at a discount. That came at the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. A life was paid. To enter God's kingdom, it's not doing the 99% if we are still practicing sin. Now, it's interesting. Lord, Lord. Lord, Lord. I did this. I did that. It's real interesting that, you know, that focus, when you go back and read that in Mark, and you go back and read that in Luke, where individuals are going to Jesus Christ, and he says, I never knew you. You practiced lawlessness. Yeah, but we did this. We did this. And we did this. You know, when you go to Matthew 25, those who were coming before Christ were being judged, and they took care of the poor. They fed the individuals, and they gave them a drink and visited the hungry or visited those in prison, right, etc. It's like, well, when did we do this? When did we do this to you, Lord? Oh, well, it's when you did it to others. Oh, we didn't even know that. We don't take any credit for it. We don't take any credit for it. We don't go to God and say, I should be in your kingdom because I did this. I should be in your kingdom because I'm a deacon. I should be in the kingdom because I'm a minister. I should be in the kingdom because I served and I did this and I've done that. No, God guides us, God leads us, and all good comes from him. We can do nothing. If we are focused on what we can do to get in God's kingdom in the physical sense, then maybe we're on the wrong track. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. So what must we be doing before Christ returns? As we go through this message, I think we can pick some things out. Through that process of what is our calling about and what do we need to understand in our calling. Acts chapter 7, let's turn over there. We have Stephen, Acts chapter 38, or Acts chapter 7, verse 38. Here we see that Stephen is talking to the Sanhedrin. This is he who sits in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai. So here Stephen is speaking to the Sanhedrin, Acts 7, verse 38. And this is what ancient Israel did not understand, and that we need to understand. And he's preaching, or he's teaching to the religious leaders that, hey, let's get this. They're the ones who just killed Jesus Christ. They're the ones who created the mob, got the mob stirred up, and then Satan got involved, continued with the people. Satan was involved in stirring all that up, but they didn't run from that. So here we have Stephen continuing in this talk to the individuals. And he says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from the brethren whom you shall hear. This is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give to us, whom your fathers would not obey. So in other words, saying your fathers didn't obey. They rejected the prophets, and in their hearts they turned back to Egypt, saying to Aaron, "Make us gods to go before us, for this is Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt. We do not know what has become of him." And they made a calf in those days, offered up sacrifices to the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned them and gave them up to worship the hosts of heaven, as written in the book of the prophets. And let's drop down to verse 51. So he's saying, before we read this, that ancient Israel would not listen. And you go through the history and all the prophets that God sent to the people. They were put in prison. They were killed. They were tortured. They didn't want to hear the truth. Brethren, those are the examples that we have here. This is what Stephen is even telling the religious leaders. Listen, you won't get it. You won't hear it. And so he says in verse 51, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and the murderers." And it cut them to heart so much that they rose up and they killed Stephen. What? Are you going to take a shower? Or are you just rinsing off? Right? There's the bend in the road. Are we going to turn with it? Or are we going to go astray? God has a wonderful plan for us. They could have said, what? They could have said to Stephen, I mean, God wants to build his character in us. God wants us to make us like him. It was God who had already planned to sacrifice his son so we could receive his Holy Spirit after our sins being forgiven. You're showing us that we're wrong, that we can grow and overcome. And God wants to give us everything just like he gave his son. They didn't respond that way. They didn't want to hear. They rejected it. God challenged them, and they did not want to listen. They made it abundantly clear. They refused to learn, and they refused to change. This was a problem for ancient Israel. This was a problem in Christ's day. This is a problem for us today. And this is also a problem as you go into the book of Revelation, the tribulation. There are many who don't repent. We, after being baptized and receiving God's Holy Spirit, we can become content with status quo. We can have a way of stubbornness about ourselves. And that comes from our mind. It comes from having a hardened heart. You know what? Baptism, we were broken. Getting the right counseling for baptism, we understand that we were sinners. And that we needed to humble ourselves and have a repentant attitude. And you know, so that counseling, we saw where we were at. It was the wrong path. We needed to come out of Egypt. And if we didn't come out of Egypt, our carcasses would be scattered as well. And if we're not following the calling of God, our carcasses will be scattered in the wilderness. We should not forget what God has done for us. We should not forget what God can do for us. It's interesting to see the Dowds, when you read the letter and the emails that have come from the family and also from the Elliots, that It's about living God's way of life. It's about growing in faith. It's about putting Him first. And what can we learn through all of this? No, there's not what can we learn. It's what do we need to learn? What will we learn? And we don't go looking and saying, oh, this person sinned and that's why they have what they have. You know, I look at some individuals and some of the things, their characteristics, what they were born with, they have some physical complications. And it's just natural sometimes to receive certain diseases. And I've witnessed in my family many miracles from anointing. I've seen it in many of you. I've seen it with many of our brethren. I've seen it with people in the world who ask to be anointed. And when you counsel them and you work with them and they understand that, yes, you are a true minister, because you can't just anoint someone and they don't know that you're not a true minister. Maybe they don't have the complete faith, but at least as long as one person has faith during that prayer, whether it's the minister or the individual, I've seen people in the world be healed because of that. Now, just because someone is not healed doesn't mean that God is not with them. But don't we want to be doing all that we can be doing in our lives so that we are not limiting God? Let's turn over to Psalm 78. And with what gets sent out and the information with the Dowds and with even Ray Ann in her texting, is we're putting God first. He's a loving, He's a merciful God. And we are looking to grow. We're looking to change in our lives, to be more like Him and whatever He shows us to do. And that's the prayer we're seeking, is to be more like Him. We can learn through this. Now, it doesn't mean that this is an easy path, because trials are not easy. But I'm humbled by the attitude. What we don't want to have is this attitude. Psalm 78, verse 40. How often they provoke him in the wilderness. This is Israel. Now, we're also in the wilderness. We're in Satan's society. And they grieved him in the desert. And this is talking about Israel. And again, they tempted God. They didn't believe God. They didn't trust God. And they saw all his miracles. And they limited the Holy One of Israel. And they did not remember his power, the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. God has redeemed us from Satan. And if we put God first in our lives, Satan cannot harm us. Satan can attack. But you know what? Those fiery darts are just going to fall off of us. We need to trust God. We need his help. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is talking also about the Exodus. Deuteronomy chapter 8. As we're paralleling, you know, the calling and the attitude that can be in us that we need to get rid of. You know, it's a mild rebuke. We don't need to stress over being corrected or guided and molded to be a child of God. We should desire it. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, God says. We must be careful to observe it so we don't limit God in our lives. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, right? That's the most important thing. That's the living bread. And then God says, I'll take care of the rest. It's this relationship that I called you to in our lives, to grow in faith, to trust me, to obey me. Be careful to observe that you may live and multiply and go and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to do what? Do you and I need to be humbled? Right here it says to humble you. We need to be humbled. to humble you and to test you. No matter what, are we going to obey God? It's a test. Some of these trials can be used as a test. To know what was in your heart. The heart, the mind. So it goes deep, not just surface. Whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you and he allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that the man shall not live by bread alone. So that bread came from God. And we need to live by the living bread that will save us, that will guide us, that will help us to bond, as Ed Dowd said. We pray that this will bind us together in unity. Bonding together in love, I think is the words he used. Binding us together in love. Their focal point is to bind this. Let's use this as binding us together in love. What can we do better to be love? And we focus and we see what they're going through. What can we be doing to be love? That's God's plan. That's his way of life. That's who we are to be. Feeding on the living bread, allowing God to change us, to guide us, to direct us, to be love. But man lives, shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And he goes on to say that your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Our parents corrected us when we were wrong. Did they do it perfectly? They did not. They did not. Did they do it the best that they could? Probably not either. Some had a very bad child upbringing. But you know what? There were times that we needed to be corrected and we were corrected. God's a very loving and gracious in God. He is power. He holds the universe together. He's created all things. He is so awesome we can't even comprehend it. But he's saying, hey, your parents corrected you when you needed it, and so am I. It's like we're going to be going down the wrong path, and God nudges us. He guides us. He directs us. He doesn't want us to be stubborn and stiff-necked. I think we've seen that in ourselves growing up. I needed that. And for our children, when they're that way, do we want to give them gifts? We desire to give them gifts, but we just want you to change and don't be that way. Don't go down that road. Don't go down the road, oh, you like having a bad attitude? You like being mean? You like having, not be giving gifts? You like it when you don't get privileges? You really like that and you continue to have this bad attitude? Change that attitude and we can help you with blessings. We can help you on the right road to have prosperity, to help you to have a good job, to have a good life, to have it more abundantly. This is God's way of life. Choose life. Choose this way. Don't hang on to a bad attitude. Don't hang on to being stubborn and stiff-necked. That's what we're being told. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Our nature doesn't want to hear what God has to say. We want to do our own thing. Drop down to Verse 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all you have is multiplied, and then your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God. We have a tendency to forget, don't we? Things go smooth. Things are going well. God says, hey, I'm the one who brought you out of the land of Egypt. I'm the one who brought you out of the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness. And then he goes on, all these blessings that he's done. Look at the blessings that God has given us. Many blessings. God is telling us to not be hearers of the word only, but to be doers. He's admonishing us that. He's telling us. He's guiding us. He's correcting us. We need to get the message. We need to let God's perfect work be done in us. Let's turn over to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. You know, God says, hey, I brought you out into the wilderness to humble you. Right? To help us to see that we need God. That we need God. Do we believe that God can help us to overcome? If we don't have peace in our life, as we heard today, what is the reason? We had 5 points from being, don't be overly anxious, being gentle. What peace brings us? God is peace. God wants us to be like him. We have to ask ourselves, as we heard in the first message, do we want to be like God? God desires for us to be like him. We've been called. We've accepted that calling to be like him. So we ask in ourselves, well, do I want to be like Jesus Christ? There's times that it's like we've got so much going on and there's too much and we're struggling. We don't have peace. We're anxious. We fear. We know it. But you know what? We don't do anything about it. It's like we're wandering in the wilderness. Israel wandered for 40 years. Our calling is from the time God called us to our last breath. Are we just going to keep wandering and not make the changes in our life? We have to ask ourselves that. Do I want to hear a message like this? Do I want to be corrected? Now I'm going to tell you, there's an article downloaded. Does fasting provide spiritual healing? By Beyond Today, how much do you hunger and thirst for spiritual healing? Do we hunger for it? Do we desire it? Do we want it? God wants to break the chains of addiction and sin that plague your life. Question is, do we? Our nature doesn't want to fast. But I'll tell you what, fasting will bring you speedily success. Especially right after the fast. That quickly, you will see success. This article goes on. Fasting and drawing close to God will bring about this healing in your life. A close study on Isaiah chapter 58 reveals one of the primary reasons for fasting is to loose the bands of wickedness, which is sin. To undo heavy burdens that are weighing us down, that we can't get off our chest. That we keep being a bad mate, a bad parent, a bad example to others. Those heavy burdens that I can't stop sinning. I keep practicing sin. To come out from under oppression and to break the yoke of bondage and besets all of us. All these things beset us from time to time. goes on to say we need God's help desperately. We need to make sure that nothing has cut us off from God and that our prayers are being heard and answered. When we practice sin, God doesn't stick with us. He doesn't stay with us to help us to overcome. He will still work with us to try to get to see that we're sinning, but we can't grow spiritually and have that type of peace that we heard of today. Many have struggled with various problems and sins for years, even decades. Some have become spiritual casualties. They're no longer with us. Fasting helps to prevent this tragedy. When we humble ourselves through fasting, God takes note and He will respond. He will. Try Him. Test Him. He will respond. Details, Isaiah 58, verse 9, details God's response. We'll read that here in just a little bit. Spiritual healing is about the diagnosis and the removal of the spiritual root cause of the problem. Seek God as a healer, as you would seek Him going to the doctor. God, through fasting, if we seek His will, God removes our spiritual blinders, enables us to see ourselves more as we really are. We're able to see our mistakes that we may be making in our relationships with others and also with God. He also imparts us to understand His laws and the recognition of our need to repent. He says this is a vital part of the process of spiritual healing. Jesus said, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. And they quote Matthew chapter 13, 15. Apostle Paul explains the complete spiritual healing process in terms of the transformation from the old man to the new man. Get rid of the old man. Don't just polish up that old man. Make him look shiny and good on the outside, but internally he's not. No, get rid of him. We are exhorted to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's turn over to, we're already in Isaiah 58. But as you go through this, the first part, Isaiah is saying, you know, inspired by God, tell my people, tell the people that I'm working with, tell them their sins. Cry aloud, spare not. It's the prophet, right, telling them, oh, we don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear it. Brethren, God wants us to live forever. He wants us to hear His words. He wants us to have an abundant life today. So as you go through this and you go through verse 5, he says, well, let's read verse 5. Is this the fast that I've chosen? So in other words, what he's talking about here is just going through the motions only. Fasting, afflicting the soul without food and water is what it's saying. As for a man to afflict his soul, is it just going without food and water? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? No, it is not. If it's not with the right attitude of seeking humility, the fast is not going to do any good. The fast that God wants us to have starts in verse 6. Jesus Christ, God the Father, is this not the fast that I've chosen? To loosen those bonds, to loosen sin. So we go into a fast. God, afflict my soul without food and water. But God, afflict our souls. For all those who fast, afflict our souls to know your word, to be able to overcome, afflict us spiritually, to see that we're wrong and that we need to change. You said you would loose those bonds, those chains that weigh us down, because we can't be what you want us to be. To undo those heavy burdens, afflict our souls. Let those oppressed go free, those people that I'm holding on to grudges. Help me to stop that and break every yoke, everything that's weighing me down, to not be a child, to not seek reconciliation, to not seek forgiveness of sin, to not seek the love. Help me to overcome that. Because, verse 7, is it not to share your bread with the hungry? Everyone is hungry. Don't just look at the poor. Everyone in here gets hungry at times. What's our relationship? Are we willing to have a sit down with each other? You know, there's an attitude amongst God's people that being in the right organization is enough. How many organizations do we have? That just keeping the Sabbath, just keeping the holy days, just keeping the Ten Commandments, that just tithing and make sure we're not eating unclean foods is enough. What about the heart? What about the attitude of willing to turn the other cheek? To be like Christ. Do you know what? We can't be like Christ if we're not asking to be like him. That's what it's talking about here. That's what the article is talking about. And that article is another page long. I suggest you maybe downloading and looking at it. It says in the last paragraph of that article, says, have other treatments for spiritual healing failed? You know, prayer just isn't enough. Prayer is a priority. Fast, be humble, and seek healing from your great physician. That's the way it is. That's how God has designed it. Israel rose up to play. It's all surface for them. God has given us his Holy Spirit. Caleb, Joshua, those were the two. They had the right spirit. Let's go. Let's go into the promised land. They could have went into the promised land with this within the first year. If I remember correctly, we can go into the promised land. Let's take it. Let's do it. And all the miracles, all the understanding that they were given. No, they looked by sight. They didn't have faith. They didn't trust in God. They didn't believe in God. And they didn't do what he said. So we share our bread. Help me to share my bread with those I have differences with. And that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. When you see the naked, that you cover him. When you see those who sin against you, that we just let it go. We cover it up. How? Through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because he's living in our lives, because that's what we're told to do, and we're seeking him daily. If we're not doing this, we're still wandering. We're still wandering aimlessly. God is still trying to get our attention, but where's our carcass going to lie? Is it going to go there, lay there before God and wait for the resurrection? It says, do not hide yourself from your own flesh. Don't hide yourself. Hold on to our sins, what it's saying. That you might, and not hide yourself from your own flesh, that your light shall shine forth like the morning. That's why Christ died. So our sins could be forgiven. Not to hold on to some of them, but to get rid of them. Show me my sins. Help. Show us our sins. Help us to change. Now, God's not going to come down and show them all to you at once. But we want to know so we can change. The Dowds, the Elliots, in this trial, they're not questioning God. They're saying, hey, this is what's going on. Help us to draw closer to you. Help us to build these bonds of love even stronger between our family and the family of God. Then, verse 8, your light shall shine forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. You don't have to look back. Go forward, and you shall call, and the Lord will answer, and you shall cry, and he will say, here I am. I'm here. When you fast for those reasons, now our nature doesn't want to do this. Our nature doesn't want to do it. But we put on God's nature, so we do it. And I'll tell you what, when you're done with the fast, if you're going to do that, to ask him to afflict our souls when we fast, to help us to see our sins, and to help us to change, and to help us to overcome this anxiety and this fear and this weight in our lives, at the end of the fast, you will start to see and feel the changes. It happens that quick. Before the fast, you're weighted down, you're beaten down, you have no understanding. How can this be? During the fast, you're going to the fast, you keep asking, afflict our souls. And it's not just for me, it's for us, whoever's fasting. Not just through food and water, whatever that time is, afflict our souls so we can change spiritually. For me, it takes till the end of the fast. You know, as you're going through the fast, so my soul's afflicted physically, I can start to see some different understanding, but the changes start to come. And then we don't want to neglect what God is bringing on. It's a day-by-day process. What can I do to be a better child of God? What can I do to be a better husband, a better person? God, show me the way. Help us to be humble. Help us to listen, to be kind, to be gentle. And then apply it. Apply it, as we heard in the first message. The healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. We're made right through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and that's why he did it. Don't you think they want us to be healed? Do you think if we go on a fast like that, that God is asking us to do that, he's not going to heal us? He's just going to play with us and toy with us? No, he's not. If you take away that yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, I just can't. How many times do we do that to our mates? And those are the closest ones to us. Those are the ones we see the most. The pointing of the finger. Carry that on into our relationships. And speaking wickedness. If we're not uplifting and kind and gentle and looking at the positive things in their lives, but we're focusing on their mistakes, which they may have already repented of and they're struggling with, we're committing wickedness. Verse 10, if you extend your soul to the hungry. Then and satisfy the afflicted soul. The afflicted soul. You satisfy yourself through repentance. Through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's why we fast, to overcome. Then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and the darkness shall be your noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually. He will take care of us. He took care of Israel in the wilderness, in the desert, with over a million people, with many millions more animals. Where's water in the desert? He took care of them. Do we trust God? They're at the Red Sea. The army's barreling down. There's the sea in front of them. There's a mountain blocking them here. They can't get away. God says, hey, he shows us. We must be taking action. He's very kind. He's very generous. But he says he'll satisfy our soul in drought. And he'll strengthen our bones. And you can continue reading that. So it's It is living by every word of God. And we want God to change our nature. We want him to change who we are. Because when we're baptized and receive God's Holy Spirit, it's not a one-time thing. It's a process. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians in closing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We have these examples of ancient Israel for us today. And again, it's written for a mild correction for us in our walk today. Now, we have this talk or this clock that's ticking. And how much longer do you and I have? My wife and I were just talking about someone who died last night with a massive heart attack. Who was in the church, one of the splinter groups, I'm not sure which one, but you know how Facebook works. But friends of friends, anything can happen. And if we're not going to do it now, when will we do it? If I'm not going to do it now, if I'm going to procrastinate, when will I do it? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Don't lose heart. This is how it works. And God guides us and he corrects us. And just as we heard in this first message, we can start having peace. We don't have to fear and we don't have to be anxious. We can go on and we can be like God. We can. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Yeah, we're wandering day by day, right? Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day, because that's what we're seeking. For our light affliction, God calls this a light affliction, which is but for a moment. It's only for our time now to grow and to change, is working for us for a far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. It has to be this way. And God wants us to overcome it. While we do not look at the things which are seen, we don't look at the obstacles. We don't look at our problems. We live by faith. But at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we don't look at things by sight. Whatever happens, happens in our lifetime, but we go forward. So where are we in our calling? I ask that again. Which direction, which path are we going to be on? That's going to tell us where we are headed. Have our carcasses die in the wilderness, or our carcasses, that soul saved for when Christ returns, whether we're alive or whether we're dead. Again, there are no discounts. God doesn't say, oh, well, you've done this and you've done that, you've done this. But no, there are no discounts. Our nature must be changed. Our nature must be changed to be God's nature. So let's not forget that we have the same type of nature that ancient Israel had, and we've been given God's Holy Spirit to help us to overcome. And so we should be putting on God's nature and look for that fruit of righteousness in our lives. Because Paul says, you know what? I'm being poured out as a drink offering. He's already talking about that he's made it into God's kingdom. He's already willing to give his life for others. So we should be looking at that fruit of righteousness in our lives. And when we do that every single day, we should be able to see that and know that we're on the right path and that we're waiting for that new body that God wants to give us. Because we are that new woman. We are that new man now. We've been given God's Holy Spirit, and we can repent when we sin, and we can grow and become that child of God who loves us and cares for us. So let's be encouraged with God living in us today. This is what we must be doing. This is what our calling is. This is where we're going. And this is what we need to be doing now before Christ returns.